the headship of Christ, head over all things, Ephesians 1 and verse 22. Headship is not lordship. Our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of all, but his headship must be distinguished from that office. His headship refers to four things in particular. First of all, he is head over all creation, the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2 and verse 10. These are angelic powers, demonic powers, cosmic powers in God's created universe. Angelic powers ordained the law on Mount Sinai, Galatians 3 and verse 19. Demonic powers are fallen angels who have power over sinful men. Cosmic powers are laws which govern the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ is head of all powers and authorities. This is a strong assertion of his deity and of his uniqueness. His hand moves every wheel in the pages of creation story and governs and guides it all. Secondly, he is head over all kings. The prince, or the ruler as it may be translated, the prince or ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. In the course of human history, certain men, such as the Pharaoh Ramesses of Egypt, Alexander of Greece, Napoleon of France, Hitler of Germany, Stalin of Russia, have grasped at the throne of world dominion. And all such ended their lives in shame and in disgrace. This sad world has no real headship. That headship died in Adam, who was the natural head of the human race. The explanation of the confusion that marks world government is that there is no real head, no living head. At the end of time, these governments will seek to plant a human head on the body of mankind. He will be the beast of Revelation 13. But at our Lord's appearance, he is to cast the beast and the false prophet and the devil into the lake which burns with everlasting fire. Revelation 19, verse 20, chapter 20 and verse 10. The headship of Christ will be vindicated and established in all realms of God's created universe. He alone shall be the reigning power. Thirdly, he is head over the millennial kingdom. On his head were many crowns. Revelation 19 and verse 12. Thus is our blessed Lord to appear for the inauguration of his millennial kingdom. The crown of Godhead is his, and this shall be acknowledged by all creation. The worth of this no mental power has ever grasped. The crown of manhood is his. This too will be clearly revealed, for he is to come as the Son of Man, and we shall see him in glorified humanity, in all its perfect excellence and beauty and unclouded glory. The crown of redemption is his, for he is the one and only Redeemer. The marks and exhibitions of his sufferings on the cross will be the evidence that he and he alone bore the crushing burden of his people's sin. The world, which has been the scene of his humiliation, his surrender to shame, to agony, to death, is to be the scene of his glorious reign. In this, he will be totally vindicated before all the universe. Fourthly, he is head of the church, the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1 and verse 22. The difference between our Lord's lordship and headship is that his lordship is more positional, his headship more functional. As head of the church, which is his body, he has, of course, a supreme position. But we think of the head of our body more in terms of function. For instance, first, the head is the seat of dignity, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18. The head is the highest, the most beautiful, the most highly exalted part of the body. This is where God has placed the head. In the same way, our Lord is head of the church. There is no such thing as a vicar or substitute head. God has given no man authority to be the head of the church. One body with two heads would be a monstrosity. The Lord Jesus is the sole living head of the body, which is the church. Second, the head is the seat of government. It is the head which tells each member how to act and move, when the arm is to be raised or lowered, when the lips are to speak or to remain silent, when the foot is to walk or to halt. Only the head can govern. Believers are not under a control of external carnal commandments, not even the Ten Commandments, as external laws, but under moment-by-moment direction of the living head, Christ, who is the embodiment of all moral law. Third, the head is the seat of wisdom. There is no wisdom in the foot, or in the arm, or any other member of the body. Wisdom is in the head. What a privilege, then, to be a member of that body whose head is the wisdom of God, and who is made unto us wisdom, so that we can seek his wisdom in all earthly and heavenly matters. Fourth, the head is the seat of sympathy. There is within the human body a marvelously constructed telegraphic system. The very moment a hurt is given the body, even in the farthest member, the head immediately knows and commands other members to hurry in their sympathy and help. Thus we see the Lord himself as the source of all our comfort. He too must appoint to those who are to be his messengers of sympathy to those who are hurt or in distress. Fifthly, the head is the seat of supply, the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Colossians 2:19, Ephesians 4 and verse 16. Our Lord is the supply center for all the needs of all the members of his own precious blood body, the church. Life is starved without him. His is a constant agency of supply to meet every need, every day, every hour. Six, the head is the seat of honor, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18. Much of our Lord's glory is seen in the wondrous titles of Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 13 and to 18. It is like standing on a gold mine or sailing on a sea of glory. In India, when friends garland a person to do him honor, they do not place the garland on the foot or the arm, but only around the head. Thus all the saints cry, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." Psalm 115, verse 1. Said Paul in this same connection, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 10. Then let us come and adore our Lord as the head over all things and recognize his peerless name. Now listen to the words of Neander Winkworth. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear him, brethren and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who when darkness and sin is abounding, who when the godless do triumph, all virtue confounding, sheddeth his light, chaseth the horrors of night, saints with his mercy surrounding. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. God gladly for A, we adore him. Amen. Amen.